Amen. Thank you, Brother Charlie. We are in 2 Timothy tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ, chapter 3 and verse 9 talks about the evil, false teachers, reprobates and such. They shall proceed no further. Their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and blessings. And Father, I pray that you would help us to bring our anxiety, our care to your throne. I'm thankful that we can cry unto your name. We can call out to you night and day. We are to be known as people that call on the name of the Lord. That's not only, Father, to get saved. That's the rest of our lives, every moment. Lord, we can call upon you, and I thank you and praise you for that. I call upon you now, God, for the filling of your Spirit, for strength to preach. Father, for grace to minister the word, dear God, that you have for your church tonight. I pray for my dear wife ministering the word with the deaf ladies. A Bible class tonight, Father, please fill her with your Spirit. And those watching the children in the nursery, thank you, Father. For those who minister there, fill them with your Spirit also. I thank you for each one here. Father, and to those with us online, would you please open our understanding to your word, help us to receive it. Father, do that work in our hearts that your Spirit does, convicting and encouraging and enlightening and guiding, Father. And Lord, that we might glorify Christ, your blessed Son, with our lives. And Father, we look to you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Alrighty, I've turned my mic on now, and I think we're good to go. Okay. We're working down through the lesson here, and where are we going there? Looked at the character and deeds of the reprobates, saw their character and their deeds, point one. Let's see, what am I doing here? Am I going to the wrong place? I think we went past that. Yeah, we did that already. We should be at point two. But Dennis had where it needed to be, and I messed it all up. Timothy's comprehension. We're going to look at Timothy comprehended Paul's shining example of faithfulness. That was fully known, my doctrine, manner of life. We went through this list, and by the way, we could attach that possessive pronoun "my" to each one of those. My doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecutions, my afflictions. All of these, he's talking about his life, and Timothy, you have fully known all these things. So you have been strengthened by God and by the example given to you to address the reprobates and to remain faithful and not to be among those that would go astray or be fooled by their wiles. And he says, you've seen, Timothy, thou hast fully known my doctrine. And that word fully known is the Greek word parakaleo, let me get that pronounced right. So I have to look at the Greek sometimes to get it pronounced right. The English kind of messes me up. Parakletheo. And what it means is it's the idea. It's a combination of two words from para, meaning beside or near, and it's also from the root word akalutheo, which means to follow Therese, to follow one who precedes, to join him as his attendant, to accompany him. And so the definition of this word translated, fully known, is to be always present, to attend one wherever he goes. It's the literal, to examine thoroughly, to investigate. It's following him as a disciple. Timothy followed Paul even as the disciples followed Christ. And so when Paul says, I was fully known, Timothy just didn't know of Paul. Timothy knew Paul, okay? Timothy watched Paul respond to these things. He watched Paul live what he was preaching on those missionary journeys. And he had seen that. He's been a first-hand eye and ear witness of Paul's life and teachings as he has declared them in these very verses. No doubt he's also been the recipient of Satan's resistance himself. As he traveled with Paul, we realize that. The writer of Hebrews, many believe to be Paul, speaks of Timothy being freed from captivity. Hebrews 13:23, know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. So we know that Timothy suffered some persecutions as well. But he has been traveling with the Apostle Paul long enough and seeing this resistance, and he's seeing that God is given this grace. What did Paul end that list with? But out of them all, what? The Lord delivered me. By the way, that doesn't mean he came out of it without any scars, okay? One place he says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus, okay? That doesn't mean he wasn't harmed. Oh, he certainly was harmed. But you know what they couldn't kill? They couldn't kill his spirit, amen? And by the way, they can't take his life until Jesus decides his time either, can they? And that's the same thing with every believer. No one can take our life until God's done with us, amen? And so we can count on that and rest on that. And so we ought to be encouraged by that example that the Apostle Paul has been to Timothy. We ought to be encouraged to want to be an example ourselves, because I guarantee you, somebody's watching you. There's somebody watching you that is going to be like you and me. And so we ought to be sober about that. Amen. And try to be the best by the grace of God, by the power of God, by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, for the glory of Christ. Try to be the best example that we can be. And so Timothy certainly had that in the Apostle Paul with the years that he was with him. And then a promise follows in verse 12 that not many like to claim. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Shall suffer persecution. That's why, unfortunately, many believers fail to be the salt and light that they ought to be. Because they don't want to suffer discomfort, much less persecution. We don't get much persecution here in our land. We see some that's starting. Some of their businesses are being persecuted for their faith and those things like that. But as far as what the world, rest of the world's facing, we really don't know that here in our land. We ought to be thankful for that, amen. And by the way, that's a reason to speak all the more, amen, and while we have that opportunity. So Paul had certainly experienced quite a bit. And you go back through the book of Acts, you'll see the details of much of what he was talking about there. So Timothy's comprehension, he understands Paul. He understands what he is preaching and teaching. And by the way, he understands in a deep way because he's been with him, that he has been living it. He's been living it. Point number three, We look at Timothy's continuance. Paul continues in chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So remember, Timothy was trained as a young man by his mother and grandmother, and taught many things. And Paul's reminding him that they gave him the word of God, and surely they showed their love to him. They showed their love to him by teaching him the word of God, and that prepared him to receive Christ when that revelation came, who he was. And Paul is encouraged. He encourages him to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. May I say, it is only by continuing in them that we become assured of them. We'll not be assured of the truth of God in our hearts the way that God wants us to be if we are not walking in them, if we are not abiding in Christ. I'll give you some scriptures that point that out. First of all, this one. Paul writes, continue in the things. He's not just saying continue teaching them and continue preaching them. Continue being faithful, not going the way of the false teachers, not yielding to those things. Continue in the walk that you're in. He put that first. Really, the abiding in Christ he put first. Continue in what you know you ought to do. And in the preaching, practicing of sound doctrine, which Paul had taught him. The things thou hast learned, he says, continue the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. Been assured of. You might note 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, for being assured of the things of God. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. That's how we assure our hearts. Well, I'll be assured if I just know all the stuff. No, you won't. No, you won't. Can I tell you, I've seen people go through hard trials who knew all the stuff, and because they weren't living for it, lost the assurance. Don't fool yourself. This scripture is true. Amen. If we want to be assured, we need to learn it, and we need to be what? Applying it to our hearts. Applying it to our hearts and lives. And in that passage, in 1 John chapter 3, 18 through 21, Paul continued, he said, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence or assurance toward God. What's he saying there? If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, knoweth all things. If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. If your heart is convicting you of sin, then listen, I got some shocking news for you. God knows more than your heart, okay? There's more wickedness in you and me than we even realize, all right? Your heart's only showing you a part of it. And what the Apostle Paul is saying here is, beloved, if our heart condemned us not, our responsibility is to take care of the convictions that the Spirit does show to our hearts too. If God's convicted us about something, take care of it. Amen. We need to get that right. Well, I may not have any sin after that. Don't worry about that, okay? The Holy Spirit hasn't revealed the rest, all right? As I've mentioned it before, if God had revealed all the work that yet needed to be done in you and I, we'd probably just give up right now, okay? And we'd probably just say, what's the use? But the Holy Spirit just shines a light as far as our growth. Here's the next step for you. Here's the next step for you. Here's what I want you to confess and forsake. Here's that thing that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing. Here's that thing that you're not doing that you should be doing. And he works on that, and he works on that. And many times people try to go on and just ignore him and go hither and yon, and they get astray, and pretty soon they're off course. You know where they need to go? Back to the place where the Holy Spirit was telling them to get right, amen? You need to go back to that place and follow the step. By the way, God leads us along His path according to His timing, amen? According to His plan, not what you and I want to do or where you and I want to go. He does it according to His plan. The next change in my life that needs to be made, it will be decided by Him, amen? And His Spirit will reveal that to my heart and to your heart through the Word of God as we're faithful to read. And He'll expect me to follow that as He expects you to follow in the light of God's Word. And He will do that. John chapter 7, verse 17, Jesus said this, "If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." If I just memorize enough stuff, I'll know. That's very important. We need to memorize. We may touch on that in the lesson here if we get that far. But brethren, that's not enough. That's not enough. We need to be learning and living. Amen. The Word of God is for living. And God wants us to apply it to our hearts and lives. Then all this, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He knows people who love Him and love God have shared these truths with Him. And the Holy Spirit's testifying in his heart. And so he wants him to learn and apply these things. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 says, I'm probably getting into another part of my lesson eventually here, but take heed unto thyself. This is 1 Timothy 4:16. We're past there. I'm thinking second. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself on the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Timothy's going to save himself? I thought God saved us. What's he talking about there? Continue the doctrine. And you'll both save yourself and them that hear you. You'll get saved and those that hear you get saved. Timothy? Not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is, as all this false doctrine comes, you continue in the true doctrine. And as you will continue in the true doctrine, you'll save yourself from all the heartaches and sin and grief and sorrow that the false doctrines will lead you into. That's what he's saying. He doesn't want Timothy to go that path. A few illustrations of that we saw in 2 Timothy 2:25 they were to be in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. When we don't yield to the truth, we are opposing our own selves. Whether we realize it or not, our flesh has done its best trick. That's not sin, but that's deceiving us into sin. The heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The best thing he does is fool us, okay? And fool us right into sin if we're not in the Bible, if we're not yielding to God, to God's Spirit. But that they may recover them, he says, that God, praying for those that oppose themselves, if God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. I like watching some of those trapper shows where they have a trap line and they go out and check their traps and all that. And you know what? I imagine it's not a very pleasant thing for that animal to realize they're caught in a trap. They're caught in a snare. And their time's up. And it is a grievous thing for a Christian to be caught in the snare of sin, okay? And if we park on a certain sin, it's not that God, I've said this before, it's not that God runs out of forgiveness, it's that we run out of repentance. See, because the next time we do it, it doesn't seem so quite so bad. And the next time we do it, doesn't seem quite so bad either. And the next time we do it, why, it's not quite so bad either. And pretty soon, we can no longer repent. We're no longer saying the same thing in our heart. That's what repentance is. Agreeing with God about our sin, because we've done it so long, it doesn't seem so bad. And that's a grievous situation to be in. We grieve the Holy Spirit. And by the way, He's not leaving you. He's not leaving you. If you and I choose to live in sin as believers, you're going to have a grieved spirit in your heart. And you're going to have a measure of grief all the while you're in that. And I am as well. And thank God we can go to the throne of grace, amen, and get those things right in a moment, turning our hearts from our sin to the Lord Jesus Christ, to leave those things behind and to walk in His will and to abide with Him. The snare of the devil, talking about the love of money and those who have turned aside for covetousness and those things. They have erred from the faith and what? Pierced themselves through with what? Many sorrows. What a sad thing. And by the way, he's talking about those who knew the faith. They erred from the faith. He's not saying that they weren't saved. Now, maybe some of them would have gotten saved but chased after money. But there's likely some of them were saved and chased after money, you know, and began thinking that was the answer to all things. No, it brought what? Many sorrows. Another passage in the context of Hebrews 12 is talking about chastening. Chastening is sometimes just a program, an exercise program, like an athlete goes through, and it has nothing to do with sin. But chastening sometimes is for sin. It's sometimes a difficult time that comes because of sin. And Hebrews chapter 12, the context is that kind of chastening. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but what? Grievous. Nevertheless, and here's the key, afterward it yieldeth what? The peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. What's he saying? When we sin and we get chastened for our sin, we feel that grief. We feel God pulling us, God perhaps prodding us, God spearing us like he was doing with the Apostle Paul when he was working to bring him to Christ. He does the same thing in our hearts. He continues working to make us what? Right with God, amen? And as he does that, it's grievous. And what's he doing it for? That afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now we have the righteous standing. That never leaves us. The righteousness he's talking about here is the righteousness that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives to yield to him. And when we begin walking in that again, what comes? Peace. The effect of righteousness is peace, the Bible says, and quietness and assurance, one scripture goes on to say. And it brings that peace when we get back into the will of God. It says, righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Do we realize that every trial in our life is an exercise? Exercise is, my wife and I have certain exercises that we do daily. And once in a while, we're all done with them. And we'll ask the other, how'd it go? And we'll say, glad it's over. but you know why you do it? You do it for the benefit. You do it because of what it brings forth, okay? It brings forth something good, doesn't it? And when a trial comes, God is going to use something to make something good in your life and my life. We know that what? All things. How many things? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we need to look for that. There's some way, God, that I can draw spiritually closer to you. There's some way, God, that you would manifest more of yourself to me through this trial, that I might know you better. There's something you're doing in this. And God has a purpose in all things that He does. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, a manner of life, my purpose. The Apostle Paul wrote. And so, yeah, we save ourselves from those things. Snares, many sorrows, the unnecessary chastenings, okay? If we'll heed the doctrines, then we will miss the sorrows that not heeding them will bring. And Paul encourages that for Timothy and for those that he preaches and teaches to. If you look, and I've mentioned this before, if you read the Apostle Paul's life, the Apostle Paul's end game was not that people be saved. His end game was that people be saved and become disciples of Christ. That was his end game. And he was always looking for people to be Christ-like and to be witnesses for God. Matter of fact, if Christians didn't turn into be witnesses for God, he called his labor being in vain. Being in vain. Why? Because that was the end game. By the way, that's God's end game too, isn't it? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You see, he died to say he died and rose again to save us, but he's here with us that we would continue. You see, we are kept saved by his power. I am kept saved not by my actions. The same cross, the same faith in the blood that saved me, that very faith, that initial faith, is what guaranteed my home in heaven. That's already done. He's walking with us now and providing that power in his word. What? That we might follow along. Follow. I would follow Jesus. Amen. Anywhere, everywhere, I'd follow. And we only do that by his strength. By his strength and by his grace, he will give that. From a child thus known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What's he talking? Timothy is already saved. He knows all about salvation. He's talking about obviously the living out of his salvation and all that God has provided in salvation. Yes. That initial calling upon the Lord, but also walking with the Lord, calling upon his name. And that word are able to is the Greek word dunamai. And you might recognize dynamite there, okay? And it has the idea of to be capable, to be strong and powerful. Dunamai. And the Spirit gives. And that enablement, the Spirit makes wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And that word, dunamai, the form of the word is translated in a present active participle. And what that means is that this dunamai is something that has an enduring quality. It's something that the Word of God is doing right now. Matter of fact, if we come to the Word of God today, it will do this. It will make us wise unto salvation. If we come to the Word of God, it will do it again. It will make us wise unto salvation. When we came to the Word of God yesterday, seeking God, it made us wise unto salvation. This is something that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God continually is doing. Every time we come to it, seeking it. What did Jesus say? Seek and what? Ye shall find. Amen. Ye shall find. And this word is always working when we come to it. By the way, it's a living word. It's a living word. And you know what? The more I read that, the more I realize I don't fully understand that. You know, I don't fully understand that. I just know that the Word of God, it's not like your word and my word, okay? I mean, just the word has power, okay? Just the word has power. And a living power. It's a living word. I know that Christ is the Word incarnate. The Holy Spirit uses this word, this living word, to change us and enlighten us. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is what? Quick. In one place, the Bible talks about In the Old Testament, it's talking about leprosy, and the English translation says, when you see quick raw flesh or live, and quick to hear means live or living, this English word, and that's what that translation means. The Greek word, it's alive, it's powerful. God's word is living. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is a living word. A couple thoughts on this, and we'll close for tonight. I thought I might get done tonight, but not going to make it tonight. A living word. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it, the word, shall accomplish that which I please. And it, the word, shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. I'm going to send my word, and my word's going to do what I sent my word to do. It's going to accomplish it. Now, many times we have to understand that God knows what his word's going to do. When God sends a word of salvation to someone, God already knows whether they're going to accept it or reject it. Well, doesn't God hold back his word if he knows they're going to reject it? Nope. Know what he does? He sends it right to him. And because he knows they're going to reject it, in their case, in some sense, he sends it to their demise. Because he already knows. He doesn't withhold it just because he knows they're going to reject it. Now, they could be saved if they receive it, and God's not making them reject it by his foreknowledge. It can go either way. But here's the thing. God knows which way it's going. You see, to you and I, that's a mystery, not to God. He knows everyone that will be saved, everyone that will hear the gospel and receive it. He knows everyone that were rejected, and he doesn't make either of them do it. They have that free will choice. Matter of fact, when I read my Bible, he makes it hard for them to reject it. Especially the more word they hear, it seems, we've studied that recently, the harder it is for them to reject it. And yet some people still do. God doesn't send irresistible grace upon them. And God makes a way. What? And I, if I lift it up, will draw all men unto me. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. And at one point Jesus said, If I lift it up, I will draw all men unto me. God will draw at one point to you, and at that point you can come. Amen. And if you will, you can come. And by the way, you can still reject it, though it may be hard for you to do. That's an amazing thing. That's above our pay grade. We need not to try to figure out the details of that, okay? We just trust in that living God who died for our sins, and what? Not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but what? The whole world, every person. And some will receive, some will reject. God will not be surprised in either case. It's going to accomplish that whereunto I sent it, that living word. And next week we'll begin and look at this, how it's given by the inspiration of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. And God, I know, and Father, these know, all of us who have learned to faithfully sit down before this blessed book. God, we've seen your spirit and known your changes in our life, Father, and the encourage, the conviction. Father, all that you do through this blessed word and how your spirit through this word reveals to us your blessed Son, dear God. And we learn of you, and we want to draw closer to you. We want to live for you. And Father, we thank you that we know these things to be true as we hunger and thirst for your word. And Father, for each of us now, I pray that we might just address that thing that your spirit has shined his light upon, that we might seek the strength, Father, to overcome and do that which we have neglected, or to overcome and to depart from that which you've called us to depart from. Father, that in some way, Father, we would be more like Christ. Help us in these things. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your blessed Son. I thank you for this church, Father, brothers and sisters in Christ, who love and care and pray for one another. And Father, for people that want to grow in the grace and knowledge of you. Father, continue to help us in that. And we help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory.